Welcome to WP Constellations, a podcast exploration of the WordPress universe, brought to you by Stellar WP. Welcome to WP Constellations. We're here at Stellar WP. We explore the WordPress universe. And I have a special guest today because they're one of my good friends. But before we get to announcing and introducing you to the face on the screen, and if you're listening, you just get to stay in mystery for a minute. I want to introduce you to my co-host for this episode, Seance. Say, it's so good to, like, we see each other all the time in meetings, but it's so good to record with you today. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do at Stellar?
Yeah, so I am Seance. I live in Denver, Colorado. And yes, I was born and raised here. That's a big thing. If you're from Denver, Colorado, don't ask me why. But I am the creative director for Stellar WP's marketing team, which means I oversee all of marketing's creative, including copy, video, design, and branding. So yeah.
It's good to have you here. And our guest today is my good friend Lindsay Miller from Content Journey and my marketing assistant. I don't know why my tongue gets in the way sometimes, but Lindsay, it's so good to have you here. Lindsay Miller, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with WordPress?
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here and have this conversation, and hopefully you can keep me on track. I'm in Oklahoma City. So not too far from you, Seance, in this like little middle part of the country-ish. And I've been around WordPress since 2010. And it goes like most WordPress stories do. I met a boy who was really into WordPress. And so I started a blog to impress him. And eventually we got married and I started going to a bunch of WordCamps. And here I am. That's a little bit of a simplified
two
version.
Kids and multiple businesses later, here you are.
yeah, absolutely. And I was an entrepreneur whenever I met him, and it's kind of why we connected in a way. And so he had a WordPress business and I did not, and he introduced me to working online instead of this like whole brick and mortar concept and just like in-person meetings, and it opened my mind to everything. And so it wasn't just the boy. Hopefully I would have figured it out without him too. But working online, working from anywhere, and just sort of like having that oyster open was so eye-opening for me and life-changing, really. And that's why I'm able to have, you know, Content Journey and my marketing assistant now, and talking to two marketers, y'all can get that. But being in digital marketing and being really creative in that space.
I love that journey for you. Speaking of journey, tell us about Content Journey. How did it get started and what do y'all do?
So it's only been around for 4 years. I shouldn't say like only, like we've made it through the pandemic. We are here and going strong. So like I should change how I say that. But really it started out as SEO and content marketing. I wanted to take what I was doing for other businesses and actually close to y'all in the WordPress space and turn it into something that was a little bit more accessible for other people. And I felt really strongly about creating a fantastic work environment, not only for myself, but for my team, and having a leadership role in that way of saying like, we can do fantastic work for clients and treat ourselves really well. And how do I create that? So I was really driven, not just by the work, but the how the work was getting done and how the team was. And so we care a whole lot about culture and people first. It's this thing of like, if I can't take care of myself, if I'm worried about my family, I can't do work for clients. So we are like, you are first. Your family and your friends are second. Our Content Journey and our clients are not first or second in your life. And they shouldn't be, right? And so that's really what it was. It was say like, let's do content marketing, but let's take really good care of ourselves so that we can do a better job for clients. And so for 4 years, we've been doing that. And it's a really fun place to be, if you ask me.
So you, at Content Journey, you create content for other businesses, which actually helps them do exactly what you just described, right? So they can do better self-care if they aren't worried about everything within their own business. So a company like Content Journey could work with a solopreneur, entrepreneur, freelancer, or a big company who just is like, we don't want to hire people to do that. We want to outsource that to somebody else. But looking at like those kinds of things, what do you think is the biggest challenges for like I would say the DIYers, solopreneurs, or even like maybe it's not agencies of people building websites for sure, right? It's the person who says, I have a website for my business. I can't manage everything. So what do you think is the biggest challenge for them in running a business and putting out good content?
Honestly, being a business owner is like it's one of the hardest things. And I know that sounds like so cliche and we all say it, and of course we can try to have fun with it, but like I put it against parenting almost any day. Like it is tough. And I think I was actually talking to a WordPress plugin owner yesterday. They are a single person that's running their business and has been for 11 years. And there was a lot of apologizing of, don't do marketing. I wish I could. I feel so bad. I just want to be coding. And I think I hear that a lot from people is that they try to sit in this business owner seat and they're doing the taxes and they're doing the bookkeeping. And then they're also trying to do support. And then they also have to think about marketing and who's going to put something on LinkedIn and what gets done in that priority list. Marketing tends to be the last thing, even though it's like kind of required for sales in some cases, right? Unless you're just really lucky and have a lot of referrals. But I think there's a lot of apologizing and there's guilt. Like I have it too at Content Journey. I either have guilt for not doing the things at home or guilt for not getting all the things done at work. And there's always like things left on the list, right? And apologizing to ourselves and everyone else we talk to that I wish I'm sorry I'm not doing better. It's like check yourself, you're doing okay. And talking through that. I think I kind of rambled a little bit, Michelle, on your question,
No, that's
but I do
okay.
think like picking those things out that you go, this is what I'm gonna own and be okay with that. So for my person yesterday, be great at coding, build an amazing, stellar product. And then figure out what is going to be outsourced. It doesn't mean that you're bad at it. You could be amazing at the thing you're going to outsource, but it's okay to hire a CPA to do the bookkeeping. It's okay to hire somebody else to do your marketing emails. Let you focus on what you want to do and what makes you happy.
Back when I was freelancing, I would have businesses, especially local businesses, come meet with me, and they would say things like, I should be able to build my own website. And I said to one person, I'm like, so I should be able to perm my own hair and do my own nails, and or I should be able to just paint my own house. I'm like, this is my core competency. That's not yours. So I'm going to hire you to, or somebody like you to paint my house or put in a new furnace. You should hire somebody that does those things for you as well. And I think there is a fallacy that we have to be good at everything if we start a business. And like we were talking a little bit beforehand, yeah, when you first start and you're bootstrapping, maybe you don't have the money to invest in that kind of thing. But there are tipping points in every business. Those growth plateaus where you kind of hit a certain spot, and if you're going to continue to grow, then you have to either outsource or hire people to do it. And putting your faith into a company like Content Journey makes sense if you don't want to take on staff, especially, right? Because staff also, it's not only salaries, it's also benefits and all of those other things and managing human resources. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think that there's a natural progression in a lot of businesses that just makes a lot of sense for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for business development and marketing, it tends to be what the entrepreneur holds on to the longest because we know our business better than anybody else can. We know the voice, like we're going to be able to have those better conversations and those better interactions. And so it tends to be something that is harder to let go of. It's harder to let somebody else handle that. And that's okay.
So we didn't put this in the questions, but it just kind of occurs to me. What does that conversation look like when you first meet with somebody whose business needs that growth but needs to outsource to you? How do you learn their voice and learn their business and the things that you need to be able to portray their business as them within their marketing channels?
Yeah, how do you start their content journey?
Oh, I see, I love a good theme. We spend a lot of time on the front end with a new client, and we set that expectation at the very beginning of a successful outsourcing relationship. Isn't like you're hired, here's your money, go and start creating. It isn't like that. We want it to feel like that, but that really isn't it. So we have a pretty extensive onboarding process that is a Zoom call. It's recorded. Two people from my team are on that call taking independent notes of each other, going through the questionnaire that we need. And then that recording gets put into their client folder so we can always go back and review it if there's a discrepancy or somebody has a question. Then we create an internal style guide that goes back to the client for approval. Be like, is this how we've summarized in the right way? And then we say, like, for the next couple of months, expect to give pretty detailed feedback. And that we don't hold our work precious. You're not going to hurt our feelings if you don't like it. As long as you remain kind, it's one of our core values. As long as you can remain kind, you can say whatever you want to say. And then it's our responsibility and our job to make you not have to repeat yourself. So if you tell us something, we need to learn it. And if we don't, then we are failing in that regard. And our goal is within the first 2, maybe 3 months that hopefully you don't feel like you need to even approve anything anymore. And it's just like, yeah, you've earned our trust. You've got the voice. Please don't bother me by sending this approval link to me and just get it out the door.
I love that. And I, coming from an agency background, I know that that process can at times feel really long for the client, but that's such an important piece, right? Being able to really build a relationship and understand the brand, understand the services and products versus just jumping in. And that's where communication is key.
Absolutely, Seance. It is very much like if we can create that bond at the beginning and learn it, then we're going to do a better job. And it's also about another one of our core values, which is caring, right? Again, we care about ourselves and our family first and then getting to that client. But because we're getting to know them, we're caring about their success and we're driven by that piece. And so we don't work for just anybody. Like, I won't just take your money just because you want to. Like, we really do need to like you and know that you're doing good in the world, whatever that may look like, but that you're doing good in your own space. And then we want to support that. And that's what drives our team is the impact that we're making for people. And that relationship is the center of all of that. And I'm an Enneagram 7, and it makes it fun. And if it's not fun, I'm not doing it.
I love that. I have to look at what my Enneagram is because it was like four different ones. And I was like, is this a problem? Am I okay? But speaking of that relationship, we were talking before about why that relationship is so important, especially from not like a retention standpoint with the client, but with an actual like empowerment and the ability for the client to continue their business on their own. And you have a nice little portmanteau that kind of brings all of that to light.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also ties in to just WordPress in general, right? Like you said that we really want to get across that WordPress is the right choice for everybody. And so it all centers around that. And it's ethics and business. And I don't know why we have to explain this to people or draw a picture for them to understand ethical business practices. But we talk a lot about stopping the shadency. So there are some shady agencies out there, and it happens way more often than not that clients come to us and they haven't been empowered, like you said, say, to be able to make a simple photo change on their website. It's complicated. They don't know how to do it. I have gotten access of clients' WordPress sites that I can't change. And not that I'm like WordPress master or anything, but like if I can't figure out how to change a photo on a WordPress site, an agency has done an unethical practice of creating that site to make it difficult for anyone else to do it. And I know where it comes from, right? Like it's this place of like I feel like there's abundance in the world, right? There's plenty of business for everyone, and it's going to be okay. We're all going to be able to feed our families. And they are having a scarcity mindset that if they teach their client how to change their website, they're not going to pay them their hourly fee to go and make those updates. And it's just not the case. I've found that with my clients, that even whenever I've shown them how to do something, or I don't build a website, but work with a partner. That's an outsource thing. That's built a website in a way that's made it easy for clients to make updates. They still want me to do it, but they know they can if they need to, right? So yeah, we've got to stop those shade and sees, and just tell people to start building WordPress websites ethically, and it'll keep more people using WordPress and teaching them that it's something that anyone can touch, and they don't need to go to those other competitor CMSs out there.
Exactly right. That's what the trust is for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why is
And
this a novel concept?
exactly. Okay, next question here. What brings you the greatest joy in what you do with Content Journey?
I have several things, honestly. I don't know that I can choose just one thing, but we really do talk a lot about the success of our clients. And so anytime that they have like their biggest year ever or their best month or things are increasing, it like makes all of the hard work worth it. It makes all of the like not so fun parts of being a business owner just go, okay, this is why I'm doing this thing is for that moment. And I really love it. And then the second part of that is the team pieces. So one of my team, Kenna, she's getting ready to celebrate 3 years in just a few months. And like hitting those milestones of just like people who are helping build others' businesses together, and we're having fun together and we're doing good work. Like that flow you get into with people is just, I don't know that I could wake up every day and keep doing it if I didn't have people next to me that I wasn't enjoying.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense actually. And you and I have done some work in the past together. So I remember a time when you shared with me one of the things you were doing for one of your clients. I'm not going to name the client, but I would then see that client's product out in the wild, like on television programs and stuff like that. I would pause the TV, take a picture, and text it to you, like, look, I see your client being successful. And that was awesome. I was excited about it. I couldn't imagine how much more joy that gave you being involved with
Yeah,
it.
absolutely. And the thing about it is, like, that's, I guess, hard to translate is we don't make more money or less money when people are more or less successful, right? Like, that part of it doesn't change, but the drive to get those wins for them is so innate that, yeah, when those moments happen and you have friends like you, Michelle, that like celebrate that alongside, it's, I don't know, it's validating. I just gave myself chills, but yeah, it's validating for doing what I do. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, what advice would you give to somebody who is in the content creation space or wants to be part of the content creation space? What kind of advice do you give to
Yeah.
people for that?
I'll be honest, it's a lot harder this year than it was in 2019 or 2020. And so it's definitely looking at all of the innovation in the space and the AI that's out there and making sure that you're on top of it and at the forefront. So like we've been using AI since 2020. I mean, look at Bertha, right? That's a WordPress product that's been using AI for a long time. And so like all these little babies out here that are like discovering AI for the first time, I want to be like, ugh, take the pacifier out of your mouth. Like it's been around for a long time. Like machine learning and AI stuff is like it has been there. And so but people who are using that technology to just completely replace people yet, I'm just like, I would say I would be very wary of that. And not just because I'm like trying to sit on my high horse or anything, but you still have to have this human finesse at this point for creation. My biggest advice is embrace that. know it like inside and out. There's a new technology that comes out, you need to be one of the first people that are using it. And secondly, is make sure you're elevating yourself. Like, no one can replace my strategic brain. Like, what are you going to tell the AI to use? What are you, like, there's so much more to that than just like, hey, ChatGPT, create me an SEO strategy. Like, that just isn't a thing. And it's
It's a
not a
tool.
thing.
It's a tool in your arsenal, but it isn't the be all end all of what you do.
Absolutely. And so it's definitely like elevating yourself. I think for the most part, when people come to me now, they want the strategy behind the thing and not just the execution. I would say that's different on the my marketing assistant side, which we haven't touched on a whole lot. But it is very like, I want you to tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. I know there are these other things to make it faster and cheaper, but like, I still don't know what to do. And so that's what I would tell somebody who wants to do content creation is lean into your own strategic discernment, lean into your own creativity, because those things can't be replicated. Well, yeah.
I have right across the hall from where I'm sitting right now, I have a room with a humongous toolbox. Technically, I could build things. I don't know how to build things. So, like, having a hammer doesn't mean I can make an armoire. Right. So, like, I think about AI in that way. It's a tool to help you succeed, but it isn't, you can't pick up a hammer and go, look, I built a desk because it's a hammer. Right. So, you can't say, AI, I can build all the content I want because it's a tool that you have to use and know how to use.
Yeah, absolutely. I love those people on social media that are like, I'm going to create a year of social media in 5 minutes. And they're like, ask ChatGPT for inspirational quotes. Then go to Canva and bulk upload to this thing. And I'm like, okay, so you want like, I don't know, 8 inspirational quotes every month with the same exact design and the same exact background. Oh, okay, good job. Like, no one's gonna do, that's not gonna do anything for you.
Yeah. Come
And
back in a year and
so,
let us know how that worked for you.
yeah, absolutely. And so I think that's my question for people. It's like two sides, right? Which is going, sure, you can use these tools to create things. What's it going to do? And second, are to like all of us at this level of marketing, like the marketing directors, the marketing managers, the marketing creators, where like our superiors, hopefully none of them are listening, or maybe they should. But like our bosses that are like, well, what can't you just put that in ChatGPT and like get it done? And it's like, you have no idea how this works, do you? Like, sure, I can get a head start on things and use AI, but I still need to edit that those words. I need to create a design. Oh, but Canva is in ChatGPT now. Okay, awesome. I'm not just going to use a Canva template. Like, I need to go in and like put our branding on it and make it not look like every other Canva template that people are using. And that takes time to do those things. And so I think there is a just a major disconnect on both of those processes, right? Which is like, I can create something quickly, but is it going to lead to sales or a phone call or whatever that happens to be? And secondly, do you devalue my work so much as a marketing professional that you think that an AI can just come in and do exactly what I'm doing? Like, Seance, with your design stuff, like, there is no AI out there that can come in and make sure that Stellar's brand is represented the way that it needs to be. Like, you can. Like, it's just not possible.
Exactly. Yeah. I am the only person who is this amazing. Yeah. And that is one thing, right, about getting into the content creation space. You need to have the ability and the cojones to say, no, I am the best at what I do. And this is why. And even like along those lines, I think one, it's never too late to get into the space, right? Of one, WordPress, but two, like content creation and being really good at it. So what would be your advice for like starting a portfolio for people?
Yeah. I mean, if you're brand new, it's like thinking that bootstrap mind, which is like the funnest thing when you're young. Not like now with me. It's not the funnest thing anymore. I can't imagine starting all over again. But if you're young or energetic, you can be old like me, but energetic, you can do it. Is like talk to your friends. You have so many people in your life that are having businesses or side projects, or they're doing their own side hustle, and go, can I create some things for you? And start creating that portfolio of just like, we don't like working for free, but sometimes you have to at the beginning, right? Or working for like dirt cheap. I mean, I still do it now. Like, my marketing assistant is a startup, and somebody will be like, hey, do you do blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, I do now, right? For like super cheap, I'll sure do that for you. But I think that's my advice, is just like look around in your own network and go, hey, I see that you're doing this side hustle and you don't have a whole lot of presence on XYZ platform, or your website really doesn't have a whole lot of pages to it. I've been learning some sales copy. Would you mind if I create a couple of sales pages for you? And all I'll ask is a review in return, and let me use your name and your site in my portfolio. And that's really the best way of doing it, because people want to see that work and they want to know that it's your work and that you have people that have used you before, before hiring you and paying you way more than those first people.
I love that. And then another follow-up question that's not following that one up. We were talking about AI and all of that, and I know you come from like the health industry and like specifically like mental health kind of things. And a big thing that I don't think it's really talked about enough, but it's been kind of a big topic for a little while, is like accessible and inclusive content. So how do you and like Content Journey approach that?
Great question. Thank you. I love talking about this. So it's just one of our things that we always have done for clients, because we want any content we create, that means for a website or social media or an ebook, like whatever that happens to be, we always want to make sure that our visuals as well as our words represent the population and not just, a very monogamous thing, right? And that wasn't the right word, but you know what I mean. So not just like all one look. And so we wanted to make sure that we were taking on that burden of, are these visuals representative of everybody here? And so whether clients ask us to or not, it's just something we've always done. We have different abilities and sizes and shapes and colors and all of that that are there. And then we do the same thing within our language. And I think it's really important, especially in a lot of the clients that we work with, which are mental health, primary care doctors, like the direct primary care. So, like the concierge doctors, there are a lot of people who we work with, and med spas and things like that. Is we want to make sure that we're taking that on, so that they don't get called out for it, right? So it's not like if something happens, like we know that we've done that. And so it's just something that has to be done all the time. Like, there's just no excuse for it.
Yeah, and at this point, there's, it still helps the bottom line, right? Because when you're exclusionary, then that means that your audience is just going to be this small little bubble, and that's it.
Absolutely. You do want to make sure that in your digital marketing that everyone can feel seen and feel heard, and not re-stigmatized either. So we talk a lot about our core values in medical and mental health spaces, which means that our photos, let's use like addiction and recovery. So you can two pictures of people that are going through recovery or looking for a recovery center of alcohol, of pills, of needles, piles of drugs. I've literally seen this on client sites, and I'm appalled, because even though that's like the experience that maybe someone is going through, they're looking for help, they're looking for hope. They're not looking for a reminder of why they're Googling that to begin with. And so I think for some people's journeys and some people's marketing, they find that the reminders of those things is what best angle they want to do, but that's not what we're going to do. We're always going to say, like, if you're coming to us, we're going to paint a better picture of the future and not remind you of your past and your struggles to get there. And I think, I mean, it's like that's a very more like precise way of like putting that exclusionary pieces or stigmatizing pieces. But I find it really is important to me that when we work with people that we're taking that into account on their behalf.
They're looking for hope. They're looking for a brighter future. They're not looking for a reminder of the bad things that are the reasons they're looking for hope. So that makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. It's in marketing too, right? Like even at Content Journey, we're always talking about like the path to leads to more sales. We're not like sales have really sucked the last couple of years, right? You worried about paying your mortgage? You've come to the right place. Like it just doesn't feel good. And I think it still that negative stuff works from a psychological standpoint to sell the fear. But that's just not the kind of people that we're going to work with that want to sell the fear.
Well, and you know that fear-based marketing at times goes hand in hand with the shade and seize, right? Yeah, those are the people who love fear-based marketing are also the people who are like, you can't control your own website. You can't control your own data.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's put all those people in a pile and send them to their own state, like Texas or something. I'm just kidding. I just say that because I'm from Oklahoma.
I thought, ooh, the shade is being thrown.
I don't
It's fun.
Like, oh, what's that term? Bombastic side eye? Right.
I love
But
it.
yeah, like they need to go in their own playground. They're not allowed in mine. They can't play with me.
Exactly.
They gotta get their own ball. They gotta do their own thing. Like they are not allowed in my circle.
Yes. Sweatpants are not allowed today. You can't sit with us. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
it. Is there anything else you would like to share with our audience?
Oh gosh. I mean, I haven't hit all of my ranting points yet today. So, I mean, we probably should have taken a little bit more time. So I'd be like, what else does Lindsay like to rant about? Because I can always get on a soapbox. But no, I think we hit some really good high points. If anyone needs to, learn more about me, they can find me and they can find out more about Content Journey or my marketing assistant. But I think that overall, WordPress and this ecosystem and the people that are doing the right work the right way, this is a great place to be and a supportive place to be and just like a wonderful community to be a part of. And I think anyone who's listening or watching, just like pat yourself on the back and go like, if I'm listening to a stellar podcast, then I'm probably one of those people that's doing the right things. And like, let's just keep fighting the good fight.
I love that. And speaking of finding you, how do people find Content Journey, my marketing assistant, and Lindsay Miller in all the places?
Google. Just Google the stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
She'll be on page
a
one
said
'cause
by
she
a
understands
true.
content.
I mean, hair flip and all. Yeah, so contentjourney.com, my marketing assistant.com. We're on all of the socials. Twitter for my WordPress people is Lindsay Miller WP. I probably spend the majority of my personal social media time on LinkedIn and Instagram. So like I can age myself and profile myself on those two platforms, but that's where you can find me like in DMing and things like that. But yeah, it's pretty easy to track me down. Oh, and post out a
Excellent.
Slack. Sorry.
That's
You
another
can
good
also
place.
find me in post out a Slack. Yeah.
Absolutely. We will include all of those links in the show notes, including a transcript of today's episode. So if you are looking to connect with Lindsay, just go to stellarwp.com/podcast and find this episode. And it'll have Lindsay's name in there. You can just use our own search tool there. And all of those links will be there for you to find. So Lindsay, thank you so much for spending some time with us today to talk about content. I think I nerd out over content. I know that Say and I work together on a lot of content. Say nerds out about a lot of the content too, which is exactly why I invited Say on Say to be the co-host today. Which thank you so much, Say, for spending some time today on WP Constellations.
Thank you for
Thank you
having me.
both.
Yes, thank you,
Well,
Lindsay, for bringing us along this journey. There's
yes.
that one last one in.
Gotta have it.
Guys, I'm proud of
Gotta
you.
have
Good.
it. We'll see everybody on the next episode. Thanks. WP Constellations is a production of Stellar WP, home of the Events Calendar, Learn Dash, Give WP, Cadence, Iconic, Solid WP, Orderable, and Restrict Content Pro. Learn more about the Stellarverse at stellarwp.com.